Leviticus 25, verse number 10 says, proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. Hello, this is Pastor Wynn Greer from the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina, just outside of Boone. And you are listening to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. We want to take just a moment and let you know about the church and its different ministries. And if you are in the listening area, maybe you're new here, maybe you are looking for a church home, or maybe you're visiting here in the high country, we would love for you to come by and visit with us at the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. We are located on Baird's Creek Road, 1 mile at Baird's Creek Road, just above the Willow Creek Golf Course. And that is just a few miles outside of Boone, on or off of Highway 105 South. So we could, from the middle of Boone, I could be there in probably 5 or 8 minutes, depending on how the traffic is. So we'd love for you to come by. It's good to have Noah this morning helping us out and here with us. How's your day going, Noah?
It's going well, and I am glad to be here. It's always good to come in and enjoy the broadcast. And we do want to say welcome to all those who are listening in right here on AM 1450 WATA out of Boone, North Carolina. Those who listen in on AM 690 WZAP out of Bristol, Virginia. And those who listen in on KPGT 89.1 FM, The Truth, out of Watertown, South Dakota.
We do appreciate all of our listeners. And I want to make one more quick announcement. And that is coming up this month, March the 13th through the 16th at Mount Lebanon. We're going to be having evangelist Dr. Ben Carper. And he has been with us for, I'm going to say 4 years. This will be his fourth or fifth year in a row that he's been with us in the month of March. We're hoping and praying for some good weather. March has come in like a lamb so far, so maybe we'll be all right, but we never know. But we're looking forward to this meeting, March the 13th through the 16th. March 13th is a Sunday, and Brother Carper will be with us in the 11 o'clock preaching service. Then we'll have a meal in the fellowship hall, and we will have a Sunday afternoon service. We'll get started back at 2 p.m., so a little bit different. Maybe if you're in the area and you'd like to come out that afternoon, that would be available. That would not interfere with your evening service if you have one at your church. So on the 13th at 11 and 2, and then Monday through Wednesday night at 7 p.m., Brother Carper will be with us, Lord willing. We're looking forward to that, and I wanted to make that announcement today. Now, we're continuing on with our study on the subject of the heroes of prayer, or heroes of prayer. And we've been in this several weeks now, and what I've been doing is just a little bit different. I've been alternating from week to week. I'll be in the Bible and study a Bible character 1 week, and then we'll take an example from history, a preacher or a missionary or a writer, someone like that. We've looked at several different ones so far. The last 2 weeks we talked about a gentleman named Rhys Howells. And today we're going to go back into the Bible. We're going to look once again at Daniel. Now, this is the third time that we've looked at Daniel. So we'll look at Daniel, took a week off, looked at Daniel again. Next time we'll move on to somebody else. But as far as prayer, heroes of prayer are concerned, it's hard to find somebody that is a greater example than Daniel. And of course, we're talking about Daniel in the Old Testament, the book of Daniel. A lot of times you think about Daniel, you think about the prophecies, or you think about Daniel in the Den of Lions, or the Nebuchadnezzar's golden image or something like that. And those are great. And then the prophecies there. A lot could be said about that, but have you ever noticed Daniel's prayer life? All throughout the book of Daniel, we find that Daniel is a man of prayer. Now, Daniel also, in the captivity, he had been carried away in the Babylonian captivity. But in his captivity, Daniel became a man of great prominence. He wasn't just a captive. He wasn't just a slave, but he was promoted to positions of power and prominence and influence, and it did not matter under who he served, he always was promoted. And so we look at Daniel. Daniel became, we might call him in our government lingo today, sort of a prime minister or a president. He was a leader. He was very influential under the kings that he served. Daniel chapter 6, verse number 2 says, "And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first." And so Daniel was a man of prominence. Daniel was a man of influence. He was a man of character. Now, they didn't have newspapers in those days, but if they did, and somebody from Jerusalem caught wind of Daniel and what had happened to him after he was carried away captive, they could have written a story about him. They could have said, Daniel, hometown boy, makes great success in Babylon, or something like that. He began as a captive, a prisoner of war is what that is, but he ended up very influential, sort of a prime minister. His career, the book of Daniel, lasted over many, many years, 60 or 70 years, 80 years, something like that, and lasted a long time. Daniel served under four different kings, Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, Cyrus, and Darius. These from three different nations or three different kingdoms, the Babylonians, the Medes, the Persians. And so he had a long career. And what I like to think of when I think about Daniel, not so much him being a prime minister, but him being a prayer minister to his people. Daniel was a prayer minister to his people. I'm more impressed with his prayer life than with his political life. And Daniel did have a political life. He was always involved, or he was involved in the affairs of state. He was a counselor to the different kings. He had a position of power and prominence in the political realm. But his prayer life is more impressive than that. From a young man to his old age, Daniel was a man of prayer. Now, we've already covered this, thinking back for just a moment, a couple of instances from Daniel's prayer life. He prayed as a young man in Daniel chapter number 2. And in Daniel chapter number 2, the king had a dream, Nebuchadnezzar. Nobody could interpret it. And he was going to just do away with all of the men, the magicians, the astrologers, all the wise men he thought should be able to interpret his dream. The problem was that Nebuchadnezzar couldn't remember his dream. And so he said, if you're who you say you are, you ought to be able to remember and interpret the dream that I had. But in Daniel chapter 2 and verse number 17, the Bible said, "Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his." And so we find that Daniel was a man of prayer even from his youth. And then we talked later on about how that Daniel prayed when it was politically incorrect to pray, when it was actually against the law for Daniel to pray. The other presidents, the other men, they were jealous of Daniel. They were jealous of his favor, and they wanted to blackmail him. They wanted to blackball him and get rid of him. And they couldn't find anything about his character to accuse him about, so they snuck around and they made a law that nobody could pray to any god or any man except for the king for 30 days. Well, that was against Daniel's religious life. That was against his principles. That was against his upbringing and the truth that he had about the God of heaven. So Daniel, what did he do when they made a law that nobody could pray? The Bible said in Daniel chapter 6, verse 10, "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before God as he did aforetime." So when they passed a law And they said, you're not going to pray. Daniel went and prayed. It was against the law. It was politically incorrect. It was damaging or potentially damaging to not only his career, but his life. But he went and he prayed anyway. He prayed as a matter of everyday life. In Daniel chapter 6, verse 10, it says, as he did aforetime. So when I think about Daniel, it's not that he just prayed when emergencies came. You know, that's how we are sometimes. When an emergency comes, well, oh boy, there's nothing else we need to do. We need to pray. But Daniel prayed as he did aforetime. He'd been praying every day. In fact, the Bible says here that he prayed three times a day. So Daniel was a man of prayer, a person of prayer in his everyday life. And then we look on in Daniel's life, just pointing out some things about this hero of prayer. He prayed concerning the political and spiritual condition of his people, Daniel chapter number 9. And I'm going to begin reading in verse number 2. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And so Daniel had been studying his Bible, and Daniel came across the book of Jeremiah, and he began to understand and see from the book of Jeremiah that the children of Israel, God had said, they would be captive for 70 years. And so Daniel understood that from studying the book of Jeremiah. And in verse number 3, the Bible said, and I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments, we have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. And if you study in Daniel chapter number 9, you'll see that Daniel began to pray concerning the condition of his people, the Jews. And then we come to Daniel chapter 10, and that's what we're going to look at today. He prayed concerning the future of his people. Daniel chapter 10. And verse number 12, then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. Verse 14, now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days. For yet the vision is for many days. He prayed concerning the future of his people. Now, what I want to point out about Daniel's prayer life, I went over all that again, and there's four specific times in the book of Daniel that we find him praying that we've mentioned. And what I notice about Daniel's prayer life is that there is progress to his prayer life. When we start out in Daniel chapter number 2, he's praying for himself. He's praying for his friends. He's got a very close circle that he's very concerned about, and he's praying. Well, God hears his prayer, and God answers his prayer. Then as we see Daniel's prayer life progress throughout the book of Daniel, we find in the end that Daniel prays for the nation, for his own people, for the whole nation of Israel. There is a spiritual progress in the life of Daniel. And as he gets older, his circle of prayer influence becomes larger and larger. In the beginning, it was to save my neck. You know, in the beginning, it was about me. But as he grows, as he matures as a child of God, his influence, his vision becomes greater and greater. And now in the end of the book of Daniel, we see that his prayer life takes in the whole nation. You see, there's a progress. And oh, how we need people to pray in this day and time. Not just me, my four, no more. Not just my little circle, you know, my immediate family. Not just my church, my community. But boy, we need to enlarge our prayer vision to take in the whole nation. You say, do you believe that does any good? Well, it did in the book of Daniel. It made a difference in the book of Daniel. You know, we talk about it being an election year. Does God care about elections? Does he care about the political movements going on in the world? Well, in the book of Matthew and in the book of Luke, when the disciples came to the Lord Jesus and they said, "Lord, teach us to pray," even as John taught his disciples to pray, he said that we should pray, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So we are to pray about kingdoms, about political things. We're to pray that God's kingdom would come. We're to pray that God's will would be done on earth. Does God have a will concerning the political future of the countries of the world? Sure he does. Sure he does. God cares. God knows about these things. God has a desire that would be done. But if God's people don't pray, if God's people do not act, if God's people are not salt and light, well, our influence is not going to be felt. And so we need some prayer ministers, not prime ministers, but we need some prayer ministers. Here it is, election year. And we know what goes on in an election year. There's a lot of campaigns. You know how to spell that? C-A-M-P-A-I-N-S. That's not really how you spell it. But I thought of that when I was making my notes. There's a lot of campaigning going on. And somebody said about it being leap year and there's an extra day, February 29th, said who would add an extra day during an election year? It's painful enough as it is, but you got all the campaigning going on. You've got all the debating going on. You got the primaries. You got the elections. You got Super Tuesday and all of these things going on. And then there's all the questioning back and forth. Who are you going to vote for? Well, if things keep going the way that they have been, there's going to be no choice for Christian people. I could never vote somebody that was anything other than pro-life. The choices out there, if things keep going the way that they're going, there's going to be no vote that a Christian person could vote for. What do we do about that? Well, right now, we need to pray. We need to pray. We need to vote in the primaries. I'm not saying that, but boy, we need to pray more than anything else. It is interesting in Daniel chapter number 10, this is a prayer concerning the whole nation. We might call it Daniel's national prayer. And there's some things I want to point out in the few minutes that we have left. Prayer is heard in heaven. When you pray, what good is it? Where do prayers go? What is done with our prayers? Well, have you ever thought that our prayers, true prayers, heartfelt prayers, prayers made in the name of Jesus, as it talks about in the New Testament, prayers are heard in heaven? Now, Daniel chapter 10, verse number 2, the Bible said that Daniel said, "In those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. Daniel had prayed for 3 full weeks. Daniel had prayed for 21 days. And if we had time to read the whole chapter here, what we would find out is that in those 3 weeks, Daniel had not heard from heaven. Daniel had not received an answer from heaven. He had been praying. He had been mourning. He had been fasting and praying, but nothing was taking place. Have you ever felt like that? Boy, I've been praying about this, and nothing has happened. Nothing has changed. This ought to encourage us not to lose faith. It may seem like you're not getting anywhere. It may seem like that God does not hear your prayers. But it ought to encourage us, as we read on in Daniel chapter number 10, that in verse number 12, Daniel finds out that his prayer was heard from the very beginning. And I don't have time to go into all the details. There's a lot of things going on in chapter number 10, but Daniel receives an answer to prayer like I've never received, and I don't believe that we receive answers directly like Daniel did in chapter number 10. He had a heavenly vision. He had a visitor. But it said in Daniel chapter number 10 and verse number 12, It said, "Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words." And so Daniel had a heavenly messenger, and his messenger revealed unto him, he said, "You know, the first day that you started to pray, I started to come and to answer your prayer." That's what Daniel finds out in verse number 12, "For from the first day." And so sometimes it just takes time for our prayers to be answered, but God does hear our prayers in heaven. Back in chapter 9, we find Daniel praying over there. Daniel chapter 9 in verse number 3, he said, "And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments." He began to pray in the first part of that chapter. And we go all the way down to verse number 17 before we begin to find the answer. It said, "Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. O my God, incline thine ear and hear, open thine eyes, and behold our desolations, and the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousness, but for thy great mercies." When he came to pray in chapter number 9, it wasn't because that they had been doing right, that they had been doing good. He said, "But for thy great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake, O my God. For that city and thy people are called by thy name. And while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore understand the matter and consider the vision." So Gabriel, he delivered the message to Daniel. He said, "From the beginning of thy supplications, when you started to pray, Gabriel said, God sent me out to come and to tell you what was going on." Prayer, real prayer, is heard in heaven. Prayer puts heaven's highest officials into action. Here we find that when Daniel prayed, God sent Gabriel to answer his prayer. If we really believe what the Bible says about prayer, it'd be the first thing we do, not the last thing we do. My, how we need to pray like Daniel prayed for our nation. And he didn't come before the Lord and say, "God, we've been good." He basically came and made the case, "God, we've been bad." And that's how we would have to plead today. But he said, "I'm praying and I'm depending on thy great mercies." Prayer is heard in heaven. Second of all, and quickly today, prayer is helped by heaven. In chapter number 10, Daniel is very weak. If we studied the whole chapter out, you'd find that he has mourned, he has fasted, he has prayed for 3 weeks, or we would say about 21 days. And prayer, something about prayer. Prayer is a place of weakness and a place of power. It is a place of weakness because when we really pray, we are exhibiting our weakness. When we pray, we are saying, "Lord, there's nothing else I can do. I'm not strong enough. I'm not wise enough. I'm not omniscient. I don't know everything. I'm not omnipotent. I don't have the power. Lord, I'm at the end. I can't do. I can't." Prayer is a place of weakness on our behalf, but it is a place of power because when we really pray, we are depending upon His strength, not our strength. I'm praying because I'm unable, but I'm coming to one that is able and that's the Lord. And over and over and over again in the Bible, we are invited to come and to pray before the Lord, that He can hear and answer our prayers. Jeremiah 33:3, the Bible says over there, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." God says, "Call, call unto me, I will answer thee." Matthew 7:7-8, "Ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that seeketh answereth." You know, God is able to hear, and He is able to answer our prayers. So Daniel, as we study about him, he has taken the place of an intercessor. Heaven is on one side of his prayer life, and his people, the nation of Israel, are on the other side. And Daniel, he's caught in the middle. That's what an intercessor is. And we've been talking about that on the radio, what it means to be an intercessor. An intercessor goes in between. And so Daniel has taken the place of an intercessor. I just wonder today how many Christian people have actively prayed for our nation, for our leaders, for our future, for all the different campaigns that are going on and all the different people. What is God's will? What does the Lord want to do in our nation? And we've made the case before, and we've covered this several times already, but this is not just an Old Testament thing. We can't say, well, that's how they did it. That's just talking about the nation of Israel. God told Timothy in 1 Timothy 2:1, "I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth." So prayer is heard in heaven. Prayer is helped by heaven. And then quickly we'll say this and we'll be done. Prayer is heeded in heaven. Prayer is the instigator of unseen battles in heaven. In chapter number 10, we find out what delayed Daniel's prayer for 3 weeks. Daniel 10:12, the Bible said, "Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 20 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia." And what he's describing there is not an earthly battle. What he's describing there is a heavenly battle. There was a heavenly hindrance that went on in the answer of Daniel's prayer. And real prayer causes battles to take place in heaven. This is what Paul was talking about in Ephesians 6:12. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Then he said in verse 16, "Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." And verse 18, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto." And so prayer not only moves heaven but for us, but it moves hell against us. Well, our time is quickly come and gone today. We do appreciate you listening in to the old path, or to the Blessings of Liberty, and we hope you have a good day, and God bless you.
You've been listening to Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wynn Greer, the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. It's located in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to contact us, you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's MTLEBANONBC.org. Or you can reach us through our church phone number at 828-963-4596. This is